the mendacity. Greetings, America. Greetings, truth seekers. It is I, Brad Friedman of bradblog.com, sitting in again tonight for Mike Malloy. That's right. It is I, your humble and very friendly investigative journalist, blogger, troublemaker, muckraker, and all-around swell fella, says me. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. Mike is under the weather, but he will be back with you on Monday. Well, that's presuming that the weather the weather agrees. I talked to Kathy earlier today. She said there's an ice storm heading towards Atlanta. Hopefully it doesn't hit on Monday and knock out their electricity. But if all goes well, they'll be back with you on Monday. Until then, you got me. We got a big show ahead for you on this Friday. Glad you could be with us here. Also, you should know we've got a chat room running over at bradblog.com, of course. Lots of folks already in the room. The lovely Desi Doyen, who may join us on air later on tonight, depending on how things go, depending on how much you want her to. She's keeping an eye on the chat room. She'll be answering your calls as well tonight at 877-520-1150. That's 877-520-1150. Write it down. You're going to want it. You're going to want to get in on this conversation. You're going to want to take advantage of using your airwaves, your public airwaves, before they are taken away from you completely. Last night we talked about this crazy first day in Congress. And it was crazy, and it was really funny. And, yeah, indeed, it's much more fun when Republicans are... bless you, Tony. Yeah, we could hear that. We heard you all right? Okay, yeah. It's always funnier, I would argue, when Republicans are in charge. Oh, except for that, you know, causing war, destroying the nation, killing all your jobs and your livelihood and all of that stuff. But other than that, it's pretty funny. And so we talked a lot about that yesterday because they came in on their first day of Congress. Immediately, just, you know, reading the Constitution was the first thing they decided to do in the House. And they screwed it up. They screwed it up from top to bottom. There was a protester. They took away her First Amendment rights right away. Just took her out, hauled her out of the House. After she was screaming, all she was doing was screaming for help from Jesus. That and contesting Barack Obama's citizenship. So that happened. And then you had these other two knuckleheads, Pete Sessions of Texas and Mike Fitzpatrick of Pennsylvania, who thought instead of taking the oath of office with everyone else in the Congress, they would just stay down in the Capitol Hill Visitor Center, run a fundraiser, which, by the way, is against House rules. So they already screwed that up. But so instead of taking their oath of office, they were down there and they actually turned to the television set, raised their hand and took the oath of office. And I can't remember who it was. Who I heard today talking about this. Maybe it was Stephanie this morning. I can't remember who the heck it was. But, you know, if you could raise your hand while the oath was being administered on television, then we would all be members of Congress right now. Jackasses. But the problem was they actually turned around and they were voting on things and putting bills forward. They actually voted on a couple of bills yesterday. One of them came forward and read from the Constitution that they had violated by not taking their oath of office. Anyway, no big thing other than it's hilarious and we could use some hilarity. So what they had to do today was actually put forward a resolution somehow nullifying their two votes. Because they voted without having taken the oath, having violated the Constitution. And they put forward the resolution and they passed it to sort of take away their votes and do a do-over. Not an auspicious first day in Congress. And it was also pointed out that when they passed this resolution today, the Republicans also had to violate one of their own new rules, one of many that they have already actually violated. But this one they violated because they brought the resolution to the floor. They gave everyone about 4 minutes to look at it before they did a vote. And this was after the Republicans had promised there would be no votes on any bill unless it was posted online for 72 hours prior to voting on it. So they broke that rule, too. They broke the Constitution. They broke the rules. See? Much more enjoyable, except for all that death and destruction stuff. So we talked about that last night quite a bit. Today, we may get a bit more serious, because in the process yesterday... I need to play this Mendez. Well, let's stick with the comedy here for just one more second from the Congress, because this was... This is Steve King today, Representative Steve King, the genius from Iowa. Not even sure what the hell he was talking about, but he was talking on the floor today. And, here's what he had to say. He used the word mendacity. I don't think mendacity means what he thinks it means. Steve King on the floor of the House.
I would make the point that the leader and the speaker have established their integrity and their mendacity for years in this Congress.
Okay. Well, mendacity actually means lack of truthfulness. So there's that genius, Steve King. That was amusing. All right. So with all of that really hysterical stuff out of the way, while we were talking yesterday about all of this and having some good laughs at the expense of the GOP, because God knows we need to every now and again, a couple of things came up throughout the course of that discussion last night. One of them, of course, was that woman who spoke out, who yelled out during the reading of the Constitution when they got to the natural citizen clause. And she yelled out, accept Obama, help us, Jesus. I don't know what help us, Jesus actually has to do with the citizenship of Obama. But anyway, it was just, you know, these birthers. It was one of these zombie lies. These zombie lies that never die, no matter how much information you put out there to counter the nonsense. They never die. Well, we had two more zombie lies came up. I was, after we left the show last night, Tony, our engineer here, and Desi, we went out, grabbed a burger at Bob's. And we were talking about the fact that we were spending last night talking about the same crap that we had thought, that I thought we had dispatched with over the past year. We had callers, some right-wing callers calling in. And by the way, I'm delighted to hear from right-wingers, because it always gives us a chance to correct the misinformation that's out there. So I know they drive Mike crazy. He doesn't like to hear from them. I don't mind. But we had a couple of them last night. The first one called in was wanted to tell me that Sarah Palin was right about the death panels in the healthcare bill. And of course, she wasn't. But anybody who pays attention to real news and reality-based world knows that is untrue. However, that means that most of America doesn't know it's untrue and actually thinks there are death panels in the healthcare bill, or that there were until the Democrats were so shamed by Sarah Palin that they had to take them out. Later on, we got a call. Guy Joe was his name, calling us from Tennessee. And Joe was convinced that the healthcare bill was a government takeover of the private healthcare system. And of course, when I pressed him to say, well, how has the government taken over the private healthcare system? Because, you know, they haven't. What they've done is they've made everybody in America who doesn't have private health insurance has to go out and buy it now. So it's a huge gift to the private health insurance companies. And I pressed them, I said, well, how have they taken away how's the government taken away private health care? And he couldn't answer. Of course he couldn't, because it's a lie. It just didn't happen. I wish it had happened, frankly, but it didn't happen. So it's one of those zombie lies that here we are talking about over and over and over years later now, and I suspect we'll continue to. Why? Because there is so much misinformation out there, so much disinformation out there. Yes, Fox News, of course, is out there purposely disinforming the nation. But it's not just Fox News. It's CNN, it's MSNBC, it's NBC. And I will talk about this as the hour progresses And I'm also going to play you, after we take a break here, I'll come back, I'll play you a clip from a short video that we made back in September of 2009 called The Rise of the Teabags, when I went out and talked to some of these teabaggers who were demonstrating out here in Los Angeles. Not much has changed in those couple of years. Maybe things have gotten worse. So I'm going to talk about that and just how bad and how badly disinformed this nation is and, oh, what the hell we're going to do about it. We're also going to talk later on the show about the aflocalypse now. Yes, the birds falling from the sky. We're going to get an answer. What the hell is actually going on? Going to talk with Charles Choi of the National Geographic and see if we can get a definitive answer. If, in fact, the birds falling from the sky all over the world means the world is ending. We'll find out. Some more voter fraud news. Yes, some crazy Republican vote fraudsters. All of that straight ahead. A whole lot more. Hope you're going to stick with us. Our phone numbers are 877-520-1150. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. Stay with us. You trying to give me a send me a message, Tony? It's all right. Oh, Republicans. Okay. Hey, welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman of Bradblog.com in for Mike Malloy here. I think I ran a little bit long on the previous segment, so I'm going to hold my this clip from this teabagger video that we made back in September 2009. I'm going to hold that until after the bottom of the hour and then give you some other, I think, remarkable news about just how misinformed this nation is, and not just the Fox News listeners. So I'm going to get to that in a moment. But there was also one other point that I missed while I was out there making fun of Republicans. Because, we have to do that from time to time. But we don't have to do it all the time, do we? That was just a message to everyone else in the media who treats, you know, politics like sports. It ain't sports. It matters. But for a minute or two, we'll continue with the sports metaphor. Because the other thing they forgot to do yesterday when they were reading the Constitution in the U.S. House, they forgot one of the clauses. Apparently, a couple of the pages stuck together, and they missed Article 4, Section 4, which, oddly enough, seems to be one that they would have wanted to read. Here's what it is, Articles 4, Section 4. The United States shall guarantee to every state in this union a republican form of government. Geez, you would have thought they would have made a, you know, purposely gone out of their way to read that one. And shall protect each of them against invasion. Something else they would have liked to have read. And on application of the legislature or of the executive, when the legislature cannot be convened, against domestic violence. So I'm sure they're sorry they missed out reading that one. Very important one if you're a Republican. Let's take a quick call, and then we'll come back, and I'll give you some more of that information. Todd from San Francisco, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, sir. How are you?
I'm great. How are you, Brian?
It's Brad, and where are you? In the subway or what?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I was stopping by to get a little refreshment on the way home.
Oh, you're calling from a bar. All right. What's up?
I was listening to Mitch McConnell today.
Yeah.
And the hypocrisy of these Republicans is just making me so infuriated that I just wish people would call them out on it. The prime example is the first thing the Republicans do when they get into office is they say they're going to repeal the Health Reform Act.
Right.
And isn't it correct that the Congressional Budget Office showed that it's going to save our budget?
Yeah.
And
sure.
Deficit by, what is it, $65 billion?
Well, actually, if they repeal, the Congressional Budget Office found that the repeal bill that they are proposing will actually add $230 billion to the deficit over the next 10 years. So, yeah.
So here's the hypocrisy.
Yeah.
How many times during the election cycle were they saying, you know, we have to reduce the deficit?
Yeah, they don't care.
This is our primary
goal.
Right. And they also, you know, push for tax breaks for the rich. And their entire goal, in my opinion, is to, you know, get the tax breaks for the rich, drive the deficit up, and then try to cut a lot of government programs. You know, they don't like government, so they run it horribly when they're in charge, and then they blame, you know, the government for all the problems, when in fact, you know, I think they're problem number one.
Well, yeah, you're of course you're right, and the fact is they are called out on their hypocrisy. They don't give a damn about the deficit. That was a scam to get elected. They didn't care about it during the 8 years of Bush. They don't care about it now. Otherwise, they A, wouldn't repeal health care, as you point out. They wouldn't bother. They wouldn't repeal health care, and they wouldn't raise. Lower taxes on rich people who don't, it blows out the deficit. So thanks for your call, Todd. The problem is not that there is, that they're not being called out on it. They are being called out on it. The fact is, I'm here calling them out. Mike is here every night calling them out. There is this tiny, tiny, tiny sliver of progressive media on our mainstream public airwaves that you can find where they are being called out. The problem is the rest of the media, and I'm talking the rest of the media, the rest of our public airwaves, and I talk about it all the time, but I have to keep talking about it, the stuff that the majority of Americans listen to while they're sitting in traffic. You know, more people listen to Rush Limbaugh in a day than watch Fox News' entire primetime lineup at night. And that is Rush Limbaugh only. So they are being called out. The problem is our public airwaves are being used to continue the lie. So what we end up with is the most uninformed electorate you could possibly imagine, at least for a civilized society. And that's what we're looking at, and that's what we're going to be talking about after this break, just how unbelievably misinformed this nation continues to be, and those are the voters that are deciding your future. Big show tonight. Stay with us. Brad in for Mike. Going to have some WikiLeaks information later in the show, some new WikiLeaks information also later in the show. You're going to want to stand by for that, and it concerns Twitter, the Twitters. And you can also be following us on the Twitters. We are The Brad Blog. If you're over on Twitter, please stop on by, add us, follow us. We are mouthing off every day, 24 hours a day over there, and we would love to hear from you there as well as the bradblog.com chat room, which is up and rolling and hopping tonight. Quite lively. A lot of folks in there. Stop on by and say hello. Go to bradblog.com. Click through on the very first, the top item, and you'll get to the live chat room. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy, talking about these zombie lies that came up last night during the show. Folks calling in, right-wingers calling in, who I love to hear from, but they are so unbelievably misinformed that is absolutely maddening. So let me get to one call, a fellow who I don't believe is terribly misinformed. And then I'll let you know, I'll give you some information on just how unbelievably screwed we are. Not because people are stupid, at least not in my opinion, but because they are misinformed by our media. But first, let's go to Bob in Portland. Hey, Bob, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. What's up, brother?
Hey, keep up the good work. You and Mike do a fabulous job. I just love every time you guys are on the air.
Thank you, sir. I really appreciate that.
When I first saw that big gavel that Boehner had the other day, I thought of a keg on the end of his stick, you know, because he's quite the boozer.
Yeah, yes.
But, you know, Nancy left him
that
a note
stick,
on there.
That stick may have been a straw. I'm not sure. But
That's a good way, too. You know, Nancy left him a note, though, and it said, if this stays this large longer than 4 hours, call call a house doctor?
Oh, brother. Okie dokie.
Yeah, Boehner, boy, he's something else, isn't he?
He is indeed. Thank you, sir. I appreciate the call and the not very good joke, but it was good enough. Thanks, man. Have a good night.
Take care, Brett.
All right. Okay. So a couple of years ago now, September 2009, the Teabaggers were just kicking off one of their latest, I don't know what the hell they were doing, one of their tours. It was Tea Party Express, and they called it Tea Party Express 2. And they had a bus tour that was going across the nation, and it kicked off out here in Southern California. So Des and I went out with a video camera, and you can see the entire video over on YouTube, or we link, of course, from Brad Blog. But just, you know, speaking of how misinformed these people are, I've played this clip before on this show, but it just fits in perfectly once again because we've got these zombie lies that never die. And I'm going to give you some details on that in a minute. But this was September 2009. I was talking to the Tea Party folks out there, and I was just talking to all of them. And, you know, this guy was a very nice guy. He had a sign that said, impeach Obama now, in September 2009. And I wondered why. So I asked him about it.
Barack Hussein Obama, do America a favor and resign. Why should he resign?
Why shouldn't he? This guy's a socialist. He wants to take our freedom, take away our liberty.
But tell us all the freedoms that Barack Obama has taken away. Listen to this.
Go ahead, tell us. Okay, wait a minute, I got to...
No, all of these are the freedoms that Barack Obama has taken away and should resign. And here now, some of those freedoms. Give it to him.
For one thing, he wants to take away our freedom of speech.
He does?
Absolutely. Instead of fighting in Afghanistan, he's over here fighting against FNC, Fox News Channel. So
how does he want to take away their freedom of speech? Go ahead, tell him how he's taking away their freedom of speech.
By turning them off. By just saying, you know what? We can't have free speech. We're going to turn you off. If it's not my way, it's a highway. But
Barack Obama has turned off FNC, Fox News?
No. But if he could, he would.
He's not taking away freedom of speech.
Well, he sure would love to. He would sure love to take away the freedom of speech.
Okay, so he hasn't taken away freedom of speech.
He has not. But
tell us all the freedoms that Barack Hussein Obama has taken away. Get a load of this. Tell him all the freedom.
Well, for one thing, he's taken over the car industry. If it was up to him, we'd be driving this little...
He's taken away the freedom for GM to declare to go out of business,
right,
is what he's
right.
done.
Right.
He's taken away the freedom for those workers to lose their job, basically, right?
That's right. That's right. And he's taken away the people, you know, that want to make a lot of money. It's like they want to tax the devil out of them, you know.
But he's lowered, actually, 85% of Americans' taxes, right?
Oh, yeah, right. Sure he has.
But he has, hasn't he?
I don't think so. Absolutely not. No.
If you made less than $250,000, he's lowered your taxes.
Yeah, right. That's what he says, but he's a liar.
But that's what he did do, though, didn't he?
No.
I mean, because I want to get a list. I want to get a list of all the freedoms that he's taken away. So the freedom of speech he hasn't done, and the tax thing, I don't think, yet, right?
All right.
But what other freedoms? Here's a list of the freedoms that Barack Hussein Obama has taken away.
If this man could take away all of our freedoms, I think he would take away a freedom to do anything and everything.
Thank you very much for your time and for speaking up.
There you go. So, you know, I gave the guy every chance in the world. I really did. And like I said, he seemed like a nice guy, a nice fella. All the people I met there actually were very, very nice. You know, I didn't find them to be evil. I do find the people who are out there manipulating those folks to be evil. You know, but these people were not. They are just misinformed. And they are misinformed, disinformed across not just Fox News, where there is, as this University of Maryland study has now found, there is a startling difference. If you watch Fox News, you are more likely to be much, much, much worse off, much more disinformed, much more misinformed than if you get your media from anywhere else. But even if you get it from anywhere else, these numbers are still incredible. So we had heard about this. This study came out, I think, last week or so. And all the headlines were, watching Fox makes you stupider.
Well, it does, but it's beyond Fox. It is the entirety of the media. So the guy I was talking to in that clip just now, that was from a short film he made called Rise of the Teabags. You can search for it over on YouTube or at bradblog.com to watch the whole thing. It's interesting and funny, I would like to think. And enlightening, but so we were talking about the taxes, and the guy says, "Oh, Obama's raised our taxes." Well, here's from the actual University of Maryland study. Here are the facts, okay? Although the stimulus legislation included about $288 billion in tax cuts, this was not the understanding of the majority of voters. Instead, a modest majority, 54% of voters, believe there were no tax cuts in the stimulus legislation, while 43% knew that it did include tax cuts. Okay, so 54% of the nation believed there were no tax cuts in the stimulus legislation, despite the fact that there was $288 billion worth in them. So as part of the stimulus package, still reading from the Maryland study here, as part of the stimulus package, federal taxes were reduced for almost all American households, just as I told the guy in the video. In order to quickly support consumer spending and thereby assist the economy, the reductions were delivered by lowering withholding from regular paychecks, which made the tax cut less notable. That's right. George Bush, when he cut the taxes, he sent everybody a letter, wasting money to do it, sent them a letter saying, "Hey, you're about to get a tax cut. It's coming soon. Watch for the check in the mail." And then he sent them one lump sum check. Because it's good politics to do that, but it's not necessarily good for the economy. It's better to cut it out, so to give them a little bit more back in their withholding in their regular paychecks, so they will spend the money instead of put it in their bank for savings. Back to the study here. When asked what change, if any, had occurred to their income taxes since January 2009... only 10% of voters were aware that their taxes had gone down. A substantially larger number, 38%, even believe that their federal income taxes have gone up during the Obama administration. Another 48% thought their taxes stayed the same. Interestingly, those with incomes below $25,000 were the only income group in which a plurality, 50% to 40%, believed correctly that the stimulus legislation included some tax cuts. Only people making less than $25,000 knew that. Majorities of all other income groups were mistaken. So the well-educated, the well-off, the wealthy, they all thought that, 10%? Voters were aware that their taxes had gone down 10%? This is our mainstream media? This is the job they're doing? Yes, of course, the Democrats should have been out there selling it better. But the media, it's the media's job to tell the story. They ain't telling the story. In fact, the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act, enacted in February of 2009, this is the month after Barack Obama came into office, it was designed so that $288 billion of the full $787 billion would take the form of tax cuts, almost a third. $237 billion were towards individuals, $51 billion for businesses. Thus, approximately one-third of the economic stimulus initiated in 2009 came in the form of tax reductions. The Tax Policy Center estimates that the Obama tax cuts saved 97% of U.S. households, on average, $1,179 in 2009, and the program continued in 2010. Yet only 10% of voters, people who voted this year, who voted in the Republicans into the U.S. House of Representatives, 10% of them were aware that their taxes had gone down. Now, that feels to me like a mainstream media failure. And I don't know that you can blame it all on Fox News. But by the time you add in Fox News and then talk radio, which dominates, absolutely dominates the airwaves as far as where people get their news from, While Democrats look the other way and they say, well, we got the internet now. We got the Brad blog. That'll be good. That'll take care. No, it doesn't take care of it. You got Rush Limbaugh. You know, I don't even want to go through all the list. I mean, I could list 20, 30 different right-wingers who are out there on our public airwaves, lying to the public, misinforming them, telling them that your taxes are going up because it's the Democrats. So the point that you get this perfectly nice guy, this tea bagger, this tea partier that I talked to, that I played that clip from, perfectly nice guy who thinks that his taxes have gone up. Look, whatever you think of Republicans, you know, and some of them are evil, no question, but whatever you think of Republicans, they are not all stupid. There is a reason why only 10% of voters were aware that their taxes has gone down. And that reason, I would argue, is the media. Words that are the media. The failure of our media. And now the failure of our lawmakers to do a damn thing about it, especially when they had the chance. Over the last 2 years, over the past 4 years, they didn't do a damn thing to restore our airwaves, to take them away from the corporations, give them back to the people. So the people continue to be misinformed. More of that misinformation straight ahead. Brad in for Malloy.
Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right.
Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman warming your Friday evening, live from the left coast. Glad you could join us. We're talking about media misinformation and why it is that we're in the soup that we're in. You know, and I got to tell you, I hear them calling up to talk radio shows all the time, you know, saying, oh, these people are so stupid. They're never going to get it. They're so dumb. I got to tell you guys, it's not that they're stupid. It is that they are being purposely misinformed. Purposely misinformed. And we can yell and scream about it all we want. And we can say, oh, well, look what Fox News said today. Listen what Rush Limbaugh said today. And the next hour, I'll play a piece, something that was on Fox News today. I was like, geez, no wonder we're in this mess. But so we can yell and scream at those folks all we want. But who we ought to be yelling and screaming at are the folks who are doing nothing about it. The Democrats, Barack Obama, who had on the first day of his, I've talked about this before too, had on, and I'll keep talking about it, had it on his website, his White House website, January 20, 2009, talked about reforming the media and reestablishing ownership of the media and making sure that the corporations who have sucked up all the licenses around the country are still serving in the public interest and make sure there is diversity in the ownership instead of just two or three corporations who own almost every inch of the bandwidth in this country, allowing them to go out and put BS out across the airwaves. To the point that we've got the most unbelievably misinformed electorate who then come in and choose these knuckleheads who we're now looking at serving in the U.S. House. So this University of Maryland study, more details from it on healthcare reform and the deficit. This comes from the University of Maryland study. Again, not just Fox News listeners but or watchers, but voters as a whole. The Congressional Budget Office has concluded that the health care reform law would not increase the deficit and would modestly reduce it. In fact, we heard this week, the CBO came out and said that repealing it would cost about $230 billion over the next 10 years. But the perception of most voters in the election last November was quite different. Asked about their own views, three-quarters of voters, that's 75%, departed sharply from the Congressional Budget Office, saying that they thought the health care reform law would increase the deficit over the next 10 years. Oh, they did? Where did they get that information? Are they economists? You realize these are the same people who are complaining, that bill is 2,700 pages long, nobody read it, we don't know what's in it. That's what the guy called in last night, continuing the zombie lie that government, it's a government takeover of health care. So his opinion, of course, because he knows these things, never mind the Congressional Budget Office, whose job it is to figure this stuff out, 75% of voters thought that the health care reform law would increase the deficit over the next 10 years. Only 23% said that it would reduce the deficit. There were no significant effects for differences in education on these questions about health care reform. So the truth about it, in March 2010, the CBO released an estimate of how the then pending health care legislation would affect the deficit if it was passed. CBO calculated that the net effect through 2019 would be to reduce the deficit by $124 billion. Reduce the deficit by $124 billion. Beyond 2019, the CBO estimated that the Affordable Care Act would reduce the deficit by roughly 0.5%. of GDP. And yet, 75% of voters thought health care reform would increase the deficit over the next 10 years. Now, how the hell do you suppose that happened? Where did they get that idea? When I talk to progressives about this, one of the things they say is, oh, don't worry, Brad, we got more media than ever. We got the internet. No, that ain't doing the job. I want to be in the car of every driver on every highway, on every street in America. I want progressive voices to be available for the truth to be told on our public airwaves for free. Not on the internet, not on satellite radio, but on our free public airwaves. Who's going to do something about it? I'll keep talking about it every time they let me come on the air. I'll keep talking about it because that is what's going to make the difference. Much more straight ahead. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. Glad you could join us as we burn up these airwaves. Stay with us. To the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman, your friendly investigative citizen, blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, all-around swell fella, broadcasting live from the left coast here tonight, coast to coast and round the globe on a chilly Friday evening in Los Angeles. Glad you could join us, however, wherever you may be. We will try to get to your calls a little bit later tonight, 877-520-1150. That's 877-520-1150. That is our number. Don't bother the Malloys by calling them. Use our number instead. And they will be back with you live on Monday, weather pending. Watch out for that ice storm, Atlanta. But they should be here. But you got me tonight. And we're going to talk in just a few minutes here, a few moments here, with Charles Choi from the... Oh, hang on. Let me get my paperwork.
I'm getting my paperwork here. See, you never...
That sort of thing doesn't happen when you got a real radio guy in here, does it? No. Just when you get the blogger guy. Oh, see, that's the wrong one. Hang on. I got to get my paper again.
I'm getting my paper back here. I got...
Okay, here we go. I got my papers. Charles Choi will be joining us in just a few moments. He's a science writer. from NationalGeographic.com. See if we can get to the bottom of the aflocalypse. The birds falling from the sky, raining from the sky all over the globe now, not just in Arkansas as it was originally. Also Louisiana, Sweden. Fish are dying. Crabs are washing ashore dead. What's going on? Is it, in fact, the apocalypse? The aflocalypse? Charles Choi will be joining us. He wrote about it today for National Geographic News. And because we were talking about how misinformed the mainstream media, well, the voters are, thanks to the mainstream media, well, I thought I'd go right to the source of the mainstream media here and find out what's going on. If you consider National Geographic the mainstream media. Okay. There was one other. Well, let's see. Where should we go until we get Charles here? I was reading from this healthcare. Oh, you know what I'll do? Let's, Tony, do you have the clip, the Dick Morris clip there nearby? You see that? I gave it to you, didn't I? No?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I did. All right. See? See? This wouldn't happen if we had a regular host. Oh, you ready? Okay. So, Dick Morris, speaking of how misinformed people are, this is unbelievable. Dick Morris, who was actually in the Clinton administration, at the same time, William...
hang on. I got to get my paperwork again. Where is the paperwork? I don't have any paperwork on this. Okay. Oh, well.
Well, he was in the Clinton administration at the same time that William Daley, who's now been named chief of staff for Barack Obama, the same time that William Daley was actually serving in the Clinton administration. So you would think Dick Morris would know this guy, and he would know that William Morris, that William Daley is not Richard Daley. Richard Daley is the mayor of Chicago. William Daley is his brother, served in the Clinton administration, went on to serve in the White House as the Secretary of Commerce, and then he went on to be an executive with J.P. Morgan Chase. He's the new chief of staff for Obama. So Dick Morris was asked on Fox News today about William Daley, who is not the mayor of Chicago. And here's what Dick Morris, we're going to have to stop and start this one a little bit. So go ahead. Here's Dick Morris today.
Will
Fox
all
News.
Of William Daley's experience help him as President Obama's next chief of staff? Former President Clinton advisor and Fox News contributor Dick Morris joins us this morning from Florida. Good morning to you, Dick.
Hey, good to see you.
It's good to see you
I
as well.
I think it's going to hurt him, actually.
Really? How?
I think it's going to hurt because he's used to running a city. He's used to executive experience. Being a mayor, not legislative experience.
Wrong. He's not used to being a mayor, Dick Morris. He's not the mayor. He's the brother to the mayor. And you, sir, are on the most watched TV show in cable news. You're telling people that the new chief of staff in the White House, because you're an expert on these things, you're telling them he's the mayor of Chicago. And he ain't. He wasn't. He never was. In fact, Dick Morris, he served with you in the Clinton administration.
And the main job of a chief of staff right now, these days, is to fight with the Congress and to lead the president's forces in that battle. And Daley does not know Washington. He's never been in Congress, to my knowledge. I don't think he has.
All right. So you couldn't bother to look up. And by the way, my credit goes to... goes to Justin Barrier over at Media Matters today for finding this, for posting this clip. What do you mean, to your knowledge? You couldn't use Google to find out that, no, he did never serve in Congress. He served in the administration that you served in, you knucklehead Dick Morris. So you say, and Daley does not know Washington. He does not. He does not know Washington. He was for 3 years the commerce three and a half years, the Secretary of Commerce.
Well, he
and his experiences.
Dick, he was a former Commerce Secretary under President Clinton.
All right, hold it.
And here's
what. Now, when you got Steve Doocy there, that's Steve Doocy. When you got Steve Doocy doing the fact checking, he didn't point out he wasn't the mayor, but he did point out that he was in Washington. When Steve Doocy on Fox News is doing the fact checking. Oh, we're in trouble now.
And here's why some Republicans like him. He was the guy who ran the operations for J.P. Morgan Chase out in the Midwest. So he knows big business, and that's something that this administration has not been too kind to.
This administration has not been too kind? Now it's Steve Ducey. Okay, has not been too kind to big business? Does Steve Ducey know that in the last quarter, corporate profits were an absolute historic record for all time? He hasn't been good to big business? It's almost as if on Fox News they want to lie to their listeners. What? No.
Yeah, but he does not have the experience that Emanuel had in dealing with Congress. Rahm was a creature of Congress, and he understood it intimately, and Daley really doesn't. And it reminds me of Ronald Reagan's pick of Regan as his chief of staff, a business guy who really knew nothing about the Washington scene. And I don't think that, and I also, listen, I mean, come on, he's now picked two guys from the state that has one of the most corrupt politics in the United States. So how long is he going to skate by and be lucky not to be hit with scandals?
Now wait, he's from Chicago. He's from Chicago. So merely being from Chicago means he's going to be hit with scandals. Genius, Dick Morris.
Yeah. Emanuel, at least, was very wealthy and therefore most likely, one thinks, fairly honest financially.
Sure. Well, but what about this?
But you got to stop that there. Did you hear that part? Emanuel was wealthy, so at least he's fairly honest financially. Seriously? Seriously, Dick Morris? You equate being wealthy with being honest? Really? You're pretty wealthy, Dick. But that didn't keep you from hanging out with prostitutes and sucking on their toes while you were calling in and talking to the President of the United States that you were serving under Bill Clinton with William Daley, who is not the mayor of Chicago. I think there's a little more, isn't there?
Emanuel, at least, was very wealthy and therefore most likely, one thinks, fairly honest financially.
Sure. Well, but what about this
Daley? Daley comes from a checkered past, shall we say.
So Daley comes from a checkered past. He didn't specify what that checkered past was. He just thought it was okay to call him to say that he had a checkered past. Even if he had been the mayor of Chicago, if it had been Richard Daley, I guess you can just go on Fox News, say someone has a checkered past, and that's okay. And, oh, by the way, at least for Rahm Emanuel, he had money, so he must be fairly honest. Like the guy who ran Enron? Anyway, that's Fox News. But frankly, they are the least of your problems, America. Your problems are the rest of the media, because it ain't much better anywhere else. All right, we're having trouble getting, hopefully we'll get him here after the break. Well, let's go ahead and break early here, see if we can get Charles Choi from National Geographic to talk about why the birds are falling from the sky. Man, I hope he's okay. Now I'm worried. I hope Charles Choi hasn't, had the fate of the blackbirds. You never know. We're going to find out. I hope we can get him. Otherwise, we're going to talk about more media dishonesty. We can talk about WikiLeaks. I got some new news on WikiLeaks. What else do I got here? Oh, voter fraud. Voter fraud in Kansas. Did you know it? If you're from Kansas, you know there's massive voter fraud. Massive. That's why a guy who just was elected Secretary of State out there, Kobach, the reason he was elected, he ran on a platform to stop voter fraud. Problem is, when it comes to voter fraud in Kansas, as we now learn, you are more likely to get hit by lightning twice than to find voter fraud in Kansas. Whole lot more straight ahead. Brad in for Malloy. It is the Afflocalypse. Glad I got sunshine in a bag. I'm useless, but not for long. The future is coming. Oh. Yeah, I know I should start talking, but Tony, I dig your music. I just kind of want to listen to that. All right, welcome back to The Malloy Show. It's good stuff. What do you want from me? I enjoy it. And we hope you do too. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com in for Mike Malloy. And glad you could join us here tonight. Mike will be back on Monday if all goes as planned. We were we're trying to get Charles Choi. Charles, his middle name is actually Quixote. So I don't know what we make of that, but Charles Quixote Choi. We were waiting to get him to talk about the birds falling from the sky, the aflocalypse. You're just going to have to wait until we get him. I hope we get him. Otherwise, I'll talk about him. But we'd love to hear from you. In the meantime, 877-520-1150 is our phone number. 877-520-1150. And it is, sort of a theme here tonight, a mainstream media failure and the Democrats who are failing to do anything about it. We were just beating up on Fox News, of course, but that's too easy. Prior to that, we were talking about the entirety of the voting population who really don't get it, who have been unbelievably 10% of Americans understood that their taxes were lowered by Barack Obama, or at least 10% of the people who went to the polls in November. What does that tell us? But it's not just Fox. Here's this out just yesterday from Peter Hart over at Fair and Accuracy in Reporting. He points out a new study from Andrew Tyndall, and that the difference is, we can talk about Fox News all we want, but people say, yeah, you got MSNBC, they're much better. Well, are they? Here's NBC. The difference between the networks is interesting. NBC, we're talking about network news here. NBC devoted substantially less time to covering the Afghan war. 91 minutes, that's it, 91 minutes in 2010, versus 150 minutes at ABC, 174 at CBS. Of course, 150 minutes, 174 minutes for a war that we have been in now for 10 years, the longest war in the history of our nation. The network news broadcasts, even the best one that we got was 174 minutes at CBS. And NBC was half of that, just about 91 minutes. They also lagged behind as well in the debate over the health care law over at NBC. They were out in front, of course, on one story. That would be the Winter Olympics. NBC gave the games 84 minutes of coverage versus just 17 minutes and 18 minutes for ABC and CBS. But, of course, NBC was broadcasting the Olympics. So, okay. Well, maybe sort of kind of give them a pass on that. I guess. I don't know. If I'm watching the Olympics 24/7 on NBC and all of their affiliate stations, maybe we could have 30 minutes when we give some news that is not the Olympics. I know that's asking a lot, and I apologize I do that. Another way of looking at it, NBC talked more about the Olympics than about health care or unemployment. The Afghan war was just slightly more important to their newscasts than the Olympic Games, just slightly more. And, of course, they wonder why people aren't watching network newscasts like they used to. In a year like this, with unemployment like it is, NBC is more interested in promoting their Olympic Games. Let's go to Joe in Arizona. Welcome to the Malloy Show, sir. What's on your mind, Joe?
Hey, Brad, listen, I've followed you for a long time, man. Keep up the good work. You guys are the bastions of our security.
Thank you. Thank you, brother.
Hey, I'm a over-the-road truck driver, and I've got a movement I'm creating or working on. It's called Restoring the Constitution. But basically, I hand them out. I've been doing it since 2000 when we had a coup d'etat.
Mm-hmm.
And
does everyone mistake you when you say restore the Constitution? Do they mistake you for a Tea Partier now?
No, actually, they don't. They make it with my hat, my logo, and the things I've created. I think I've had a couple people maybe, but after about 2 minutes, they realize that it's nothing to do with the Tea Party.
Good.
Basically, I challenge them initially. I try to make it easy. I ask them what the first three words of the Constitution are, and about 90% of the people don't know. So what it boils down to is this.
We the mendacious. Yes, go ahead.
Yes. So So, well, what it boiled down to is this. I told people, you know what, let's stop blaming the politicians. Let's stop blaming people that are in our offices because we're not showing up. We can't put people in office that are about we the people if we don't know the Constitution. So the first step is you got to read it, you got to know it, and you got to understand it. And then,
Joe, hang on the line here. I got to take a quick break, but hang on the line. I'll come right back to you, okay?
Sure.
All right, thanks, brother. 877-520-1150 if you want to get in. 877-520-1150. Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com in for Mike. Good choice, Tony. We are in lieu of Charles Choi of the National Geographic, who is going to tell us why the birds are falling from the sky, why the afflocalypse is upon us, or isn't. In lieu of that, we'll take some of your calls, and I got a whole bunch more I've been hoping to talk about anyway tonight. 877-520-1150. But before we went to the break, I had left Joe, the trucker from Arizona, hanging on the line. He's been passing out. What's the name of your movement, Joe?
Well, it's called the Constitution Restoration. Constitution Restoration Cooperative Association.
Wow. Do you have a website? Yeah.
CRCA.COOP. It's a cooperative.
CR.CA.
No. CRCA.
CRCA.
.COOP.
COOP. That's a...
That's a cooperative URL.
Really? COOP?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. CRCA.COOP. All right.
Yeah, and the cooperative movement's a big deal. It's growing exponentially.
Okay, and what is it you're trying to do? What is your hope in passing out these, I guess, these little pocket constitutions?
Well, it's not just that. What we do is what we're building towards doing is basically getting organized. And it's really... relates to what you've been talking about tonight. I look at it as we're a nation in darkness.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have information, so we're ignorant and we're fearful, so we're dangerous.
Yep.
So we need to turn the lights on.
Mm-hmm.
And the light is the Constitution, its historical narrative, how it evolved, where it came from, what it has done, and where is it going to go, and what does it mean to be American? And what I've come up with thus far is, as I've handed them out and I've talked to people, I stay on the preamble. And I tell them it's real simple. The preamble is the Constitution, its mission statement, where it's going. And it says, we the people, not corporations, not special interests, not, you know, it doesn't define.
Mm-hmm.
It says, we the people of the United States. So if you're here, you're an American.
Yeah.
I don't care if you're documented, undocumented, visiting, citizen, whatever. And...
yeah, and that's a big point that these guys, a lot of folks don't seem to understand. It is not we the citizens; it is we the people. It refers to people who are on this land.
That's right.
Yeah.
And citizenship is not something that you get more rights. It's like getting married; you don't get more rights; you get more responsibilities.
Fair enough.
And citizenship is about ensuring all people that come under our sway that their inalienable rights. Those are the rights of all human beings are protected. Our job is to ensure that that happens. Our job is to ensure that the court systems are always and forever available to anyone for redress of issues. And it isn't about whether people think that having a trial is about finding somebody guilty or innocent, and that's only a small part of it. The biggest part of it is the jury making sure that the judge and the prosecutor and the defense and the police, that there's no collusion going on, that whatever they're being charged with is actually a just law.
Mm-hmm.
A jury really has that power, and that's fundamental. The jury is probably the most fundamental proposition. So what it boils down to with the CRCA It's $25 a year to join, minimum, and you'll get a constitution, you'll get the logo, the patches, you'll get also the foundation to our constitution, which is a book on the Iroquois Confederacy's great law of peace.
Well, listen, Joe, I appreciate it, and I appreciate all the work you're doing. I got to move on here, but I really do appreciate what you're doing. And, you know, a jury system is great as long as you're given a trial, and that's not happening. That's not happening for guys like Bradley Manning. That's not happening for hundreds of so-called terrorists who are being held, being detained without charges for years on end.
That's right.
Yeah, it would be nice to get back to that Constitution.
Well, only will happen if we show up. It begins and ends with us. All of these guys work for us, including the Supreme Court.
Yep.
And so the whole focus is we've got to all get, like football, you know, you got a rule book, and if you use it and apply it, then everybody walks away and comes back another day because the game plays fairly. Well, we aren't using our rule book. They're making it up as they go.
Yep.
And so we're basically in a hatchet fight, and the only solution to this is not the people in office. I don't care who's in office. If we show up and collectively go, oh, then whoever's in office will do our business for us.
I hope they will. I mean, they certainly, when the Tea Partiers showed up, and of course they were, you know, funded by all these corporations, but when they showed up, I mean, these Republicans are scared to death now of these Tea Party folks because they're raising hell. But you know
what?
Right. They had a media to get the word out. They had Fox News to create this movement to let everyone know where it was, where the meetings were held. You know, we all got to figure out that you got to go to crca.coop on the internet, you know, or find a progressive radio station somewhere, or stream it somewhere, or pay to have satellite radio. I want to be in everyone's car because that's where the difference is made. Hey, thanks, Joe, and do me a favor while you're out there. Will you get us a constitutional amendment that has one sentence that says all of the amendments and articles in this constitution apply only to living, breathing human beings? Can you get that added? I would appreciate that.
Yeah, you got it, man.
All right, get it done and give us a call back. Thanks, Joe. Take care.
Friend.
All right. 877-520-1150 is our number, 877-520-1150. We're still on Charles Choi Watch, our man from National Geographic, to find out why the birds are falling from the sky. If he doesn't show up, we'll never know. So I hope he gets here. Speaking of points that, you know, trial by, you know, jury and stuff. Oh, how quaint. This was a story that started developing throughout the day today. And I wanted to get her on. I wasn't able to get contact with her, and she's in Iceland anyway, so it would be about 3 o'clock in the morning there. But you should get a heads up about this because I suspect we're going to hear more on this. U.S. wants Twitter details of a WikiLeaks activist. An Icelandic MP who once worked with, this is, I'm reading now from BBC. I saw this play out today on Twitter, but this is from the BBC, has put it together. An Icelandic parliamentarian who once worked with WikiLeaks says U.S. officials have subpoenaed her personal details from the social networking website Twitter. Birgitta Johnsdottir, I hope I'm saying that close to correctly, Birgitta Johnsdottir says the U.S. Department of Justice also asked Twitter for all of her tweets since November 2009. Of course, those are public. You can get those tweets. Are they too lazy to get them? Or are they talking about the private tweets, the direct messages? She says she has 10 days to appeal against the subpoena. U.S. officials have not commented on her claims, which have not been independently verified. Excuse me. But Ms. Johnsdottir said on her Twitter feed today, U.S. government wants to know about all my tweets and more since 1 November 2009. Do they realize I am a member of parliament in Iceland? She said that she would call Iceland's justice minister to discuss the request. I think I am being given a message, almost like someone breathing in a phone, she said. Ms. Johnsdottir said she helped to produce a video for WikiLeaks showing a U.S. Apache helicopter shooting civilians in Iraq in 2007. Horrifying video, by the way. The classified video released by WikiLeaks last April brought the whistleblowing website to the world's attention. The site later released hundreds of thousands of classified and secret documents relating to the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq, etc., etc. You know, the fact that we've got guys like, I shouldn't even get started on this. Don't write a check your ass can't cash. And we got guys like Joe Biden, the Vice President of the East United States, going out on a Sunday news show and calling Julian Assange a high-tech terrorist. The Vice President of the United States, a terrorist, calling Assange a terrorist, having committed no laws, no crimes, broken no laws. Really? Really, Joe Biden? I expect that from Sarah Palin, of course. Because she is an irresponsible ass. But Joe Biden, seriously? Department of Justice, seriously? Going to Twitter? And asking for this this parliamentarian from Iceland, asking for her Twitter feed? Really? You know, we were talking about, we have been talking about media misinformation and disinformation. Now, WikiLeaks is out there trying to fight that disinformation, frankly. And for those who want to shut them down, you know, we've been talking about this a lot whenever I'm on the air over the past month or two since these cables have begun to come out. No, they haven't dumped 250,000 cables, diplomatic cables. So far, they've released a little less than 2,000, I think, is the last number. And they've only they haven't actually, I don't think, released any. They've all actually come out from mainstream media outlets like the New York Times. Like the high-tech terrorists of the New York Times. From Agence France-Presse, U.S. firms complained in 2006 of corruption by Israeli officials at the Karni crossing into Gaza, then the Palestinian territory's main commercial transit point, according to a leaked U.S. diplomatic cable. According to that cable, the U.S. Embassy in Tel Aviv and consulate in Jerusalem, U.S. firms complained to embassy officials of a lack of a clear and predictable truck registration system, which enabled widespread corruption at the Karni crossing. The companies included Coca-Cola, Procter & Gamble, Caterpillar, Philip Morris, Westinghouse, Hewlett-Packard, Motorola, Aramex, and Dell. The deeply problematic procedures and allegations of endemic corruption at the Karni terminal constitute a major non-tariff barrier to trade, the cable posted online by a Norwegian daily read. The cable said Coca-Cola distributor Jorg Hartmann informed embassy officials that trucks were stalled at the crossings if firms did not pay bribes in a scheme largely run by a high-level Israeli official, with the help of others, including two soldiers. Now, the reason I read that is because in speaking of disinformation and misinformation, I can't just hold wingnuts at Fox News accountable for the misinformation and disinformation they spread. I can't just hold NBC, MSNBC, CNN, and all the rest of the mainstream media accountable for spreading misinformation. There are also a whole bunch of folks out there making these claims that Julian Assange is working for Israel. Yes, he's working for the Mossad. He's CIA. Now, maybe he is. But it would be nice if there was any actual evidence to prove it. So this WikiLeaks, cable coming out via WikiLeaks shows Israelis not looking too good, taking bribes, keeping people out of and supplies and food and stuff out of Palestine. And yet Julian Assange is working for Israel? Come on, people. You're supposed to be the people who aren't fooled by this crap. Brad, in from Malloy. Much more ahead.
Rockaroo straight out of Memphis.
Welcome back to the Molloy Show. I know. Tony loves that song. So do I. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com. Doing my best to follow the chat room. In for Mike Molloy tonight. He'll return, if all goes well, on Monday. And I was talking a little bit about WikiLeaks, and I should give a shout-out here to our pal Cedar Park from Daily Kos. Yes, even though it's Daily Kos. I'm giving a shout-out to Cedar Park, who's been doing a great job of putting out each night a WikiLeaks information update. What does he call it? He. I assume it's a he. Cedar Park, a he or a she? I don't know. Don't care. They are doing a great job keeping us up to date with the notable news from the WikiLeaks each day, and there is a lot of it. 877-520-1150 is our number if you want to get in on the on the program tonight. I'll get to a call in a second. I just want to point out, because I've heard, I still hear people, because this is the jackasses in our mainstream media. Go look up what Jessica Yellen had to say. Was it a week or so ago on CNN when she was on there with Glenn Greenwald? Got the video. Or Don Lemon the week before when talking to Ray McGovern. And then this is CNN, and they don't get it. But one of the things that we hear a lot is, nothing important's coming out. It's just gossip. And, you know, these are people who haven't read these cables. And here's, you know, one thing I just want to point out. These were actually, these cables came out very early, a month or so ago. But they still really, really tick me off, and they seem really, really important to me. Okay, a February 6, 2007 cable showing that the previous administration, that would be Bush, and I'm reading from HuffPo, Vincent Warren of the Center for Constitutional Rights. The February 6, 2000 cable shows the previous administration trying to prevent Germany from prosecuting the 13 CIA agents who abducted German citizen Khalid El-Marsi and flew him to Afghanistan for interrogation as part of the U.S. Extraordinary Rendition Program, only to discover after many months that they had, yeah, the wrong man. In public, Angela Merkel's office called for an investigation, while Munich prosecutors issued arrest warrants for the agents. But in private, the German Justice Ministry and Foreign Ministry reassured an anxious U.S. that they were not interested in pursuing the case. So George Bush was trying to keep these people, these CIA agents, 13 of them, who abducted a citizen and had him tortured for months, who was completely innocent. They were trying to keep Germany from prosecuting. And they succeeded. That should be news. But this should even be more news. In April 1, 2009, that would be Barack Obama's administration, the cable reveals that the U.S. was trying to derail the prosecution of the senior architects of the Bush administration's torture program in Spain. The U.S. frets in the cable that the fact that this complaint targets former administration legal officials may reject a stepping stone strategy designed to pave the way for complaints against even more senior officials. Oh, God forbid. When it looks to Chief Prosecutor Javier Zaragoza to stall or derail the proceedings, he reassures them while, quote, in all likelihood, he would have no option but to open a case. He does not, quote, envision indictments or arrest warrants in the near future. So he, too, was pressured. Barack Obama pressured Spain to protect the Bush administration torturers. Now, Vince Warren goes on to write that it's untrue that that arrest warrants would not happen in the near future. He says Zaragoza and the U.S. may have succeeded in stalling the investigation, but this week the Center for Constitutional Rights will take the next steps towards encouraging the judge assigned to the case to move forward, despite the failure of the U.S. to respond to his inquiries. I tried to get Vince Warren from the Center for Constitutional Rights to join us tonight. I was not able to reach him. He's on vacation. Maybe we'll get him in the near future. I'd like to know what they're doing. I'm glad someone is out there working for accountability. It's not just me, not just you. especially when you got Barack Obama. Barack Obama, his administration working against accountability for the torturers and criminals of the Bush administration. All right, your calls, and hang on, Sean, in Cape Coral. I'll get to you. Your calls and much more ahead. 877-520-1150. A whole lot more ahead, and maybe even Desi Doyen. You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman in for Mike. Stay with us. Truth Seekers to the Mike Malloy Show. As we head off towards the weekend, I'm glad you could join us tonight. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com. As I like to say, your friendly citizen investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, broadcasting live tonight from the left coast at the studios of, what studio is this? Oh, yeah, K-Talk AM 1150. That's right. Thank you for having me here, K-Talk. And Stephanie, thank you for allowing me to sit in your chair. She has no idea. Our friend Stephanie Miller. Anyway, Mike will be back. Mike will be back with you, weather permitting, at this point on Monday. Until then, you got me, and you can try to get in on the show at 877-520-1150. We were supposed to have Charles Choi from National Geographic joining us to explain the aflocalypse and why the birds are falling from the sky. We may just have to have Desi Doyen join us in a little bit. She is my partner and the managing editor of the Green News Report, which is heard on fine progressive radio stations everywhere. If you don't hear it on yours with Desi and I would complain to management. That's the right thing to do. 877-520-1150. I have a whole bunch of stuff that I have to get to this hour. But let me try to get in some calls. I know Sean has been holding for quite a while in Cape Coral, Florida. Hey, Sean, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show.
Hey, how you doing tonight, Brad?
I'm okay. How are you?
Doing good. Earlier you were talking about we need to get on the radio more.
Yeah.
How do we go about doing that? I mean, you know, with everybody controlling it that doesn't like progressives, how do we go about getting on the radio?
Well, here's the thing. The radio, the broadcast airwaves are owned by the people. And that's why we have the FCC, which is supposed to be divvying up licenses to folks to serve in the public interest with those licenses. Now, they have stopped serving the public interest by and large. And now they're just, you know, putting out lies and crap and Rush Limbaugh. So the FCC has stopped doing its job. And one of the reasons they were able to do this is because, A, where am I, 1988, Ronald Reagan dissolved the Fairness Doctrine. So this allowed, we don't have to have all sides of the issue out there anymore. We can just have one side of the issue. We can have Rush Limbaugh going on day and night and, you know, Michael Savage and Bill O'Reilly and Sean Hannity and Glenn Beck and G. Gordon Liddy. And, of course, I could go on and on and on all night. So this allowed only one side to come out. Then this got worse. In 1996, Bill Clinton passed the Telecommunications Act, which allowed huge corporations who used to only be able to own, say, I can't remember what it was, I think four or six frequencies.
Now they're allowed to own eight.
In any one town. No, now they're allowed to own as many as they want.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that's why we have, you know, about two or three or four corporations owning just about all of the bandwidth in the U.S. And what we have in the bargain is absolutely no competition at all. I'm broadcasting tonight right down the hall from me in the same building, same company, is a right-wing radio station. And now do you think this company wants the progressive station to compete in reality with the right-wing radio station? Of course not. An independent station out there would want to compete. But that doesn't happen in radio anymore. And so it's all corporations who own who think they own these airwaves. But in fact, they are your airwaves. But the corporations are running them, doing their business. And so it's very difficult to go out there and say, well, we need to reform the airwaves when we have to do it over the corporate airwaves themselves. I'm very lucky that I get to do that from time to time. But, you know, it doesn't usually happen. So the only way that it's going to happen is if Democrats, frankly, start making some noise. The only way Democrats are going to start making some noise is if we, the people out here, start making some noise. And don't let them get off by telling you, oh, we don't want that. We, you know, the airwaves are fine. We got the internet now. We have to raise holy hell. We have got to get media reform. I don't care how unpopular it is.
What's the best way to go raising, holy hell? I mean, how do you reach these people that, you know, call their office in Washington and their mailbox is full?
Yeah, no, I know. Then go to their office, their local office, and call their, send them letters, paper letters, faxes, which are actually much more effective than email because they actually have to count them and put them in a folder. So paper, email, snail mail, you can get meetings with them when they come in town. Maurice Hinchey of New York has been trying to get some traction for his media reform bill. I'm not going to pretend to have all of the ideas about how we're going to change this paradigm right now. I know that it needs to be changed, and I know that any kind of change like this is going to come from the bottom up. It's going to come from people. It's going to come from good ideas. It's going to come from websites. It's going to come from you guys who are listening, going in and complaining and bitching and yelling and moaning. You know, every time they have one of these town halls, take a lesson from the Tea Party. Make noise, man. Beyond that, it's going to take some organizing, and it's going to take someone, consistently doing it and being out there, and there's just a whole lot to fight here. But I don't think anything is more important than this and, frankly, election reform, which is why I talk about both of these items endlessly and drive you all crazy. So, Sean, I hope that helps a little bit, but I'm open to your idea. I hope I'm open to your ideas. Post about it. You know, leave comments, not just at Brad Blog, but, you know, everywhere else. We have got to. I would say start with unwinding the Telecommunications Act. That will make a huge difference. And, you know, so that all one single company can't own every station in town. It's a place to start.
Thank you, Brad.
Thank you, Sean. I appreciate your call, and I wish I had a silver bullet out there, but I don't. But we'll find one together. Let me get to Mike in Vegas. Hey, Mike, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. What's on your mind?
Well, I joined you late. Thank you for what you do, brother.
Thank you, sir.
And, I was following what you were just saying now. You know, I watched all these young people show up in 2006,
mm-hmm.
and they weren't anywhere around last November because they're so disappointed in this administration and what they did. I don't know. I'm 70 years old. I don't know how you do it, brother. You know, I'm just so disgusted with the people that we put in office, our heroes, and now Obama. You know, and he's going to become a great friend of Wall Street, the bankers, and everything. You know, thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for being on the radio. But I just had to say that.
No, I hear you, Mike, and I appreciate the call. And, yeah, you know, I've heard a lot of people, you know, blame, well, why didn't those kids come out last November? Why? Because they weren't given anything to believe in. They were, you know, they're not just going to show up because they're swell people. Thanks for the call, Mike. I do appreciate it, brother.
All right, buddy.
Hang in there. You got to give them something to believe in. You got to fight. And then when you fight and you do something good, you got to let them know about it. And if you don't have any airwaves over which to do it, it's tough to let them know about it. Okay, I wanted to get in some of this. I tried to get in some of this yesterday. Never enough time. Because, you know, at the end of the show tonight, they put me back in the little blog box, and you'll not hear from me again until they let me out. Okay. This comes from Project Vote. I got to let you know, because this is the other, other than an election, media reform, there's election reform that must happen. Working on it. Because I'll tell you who is getting traction when it comes to election reform. The right wingers and they're, you know, these liars who are going around yelling that there's a voter fraud going on, massive voter fraud. We have to have photo ID restrictions at the polls. We don't care if 21 million Americans don't have photo ID. We have to require them at the polling place. And I'm sorry to hear that the ones who don't have them are minorities and elderly people and students. And it's a coincidence that they vote Democratic. But if they don't have photo ID, we can't have them. So this idiot Secretary of State-elect Chris Kobach of Kansas. If you live in Kansas, you may have seen his signs all over the country. All over the state, I'm sorry, over the last year, saying, stop voter fraud. And he ran, this is what he ran on. And by the way, this same Chris Kobach is the guy who helped build the immigration nonsense over in Arizona. This, you know, papers please law. So he ran on a no voter fraud platform in Kansas, despite the fact that there, well, is almost no voter fraud in Kansas. Election fraud? That's a different deal. Flipping an election by pushing a few buttons on a electronic voting tabulator? We don't know. That can happen. You're not allowed to see that. But voter fraud, no. We don't have a lot of voter fraud. In response to Kobach's election law plan to require photo ID requirement and proof of citizenship, in response to this election law plan, a coalition of voting rights groups joined forces this week to oppose Kobach's effort, noting that voter fraud is not an issue in the state, where only one case of voter fraud was successfully prosecuted out of 10 million votes cast in the span of 6 years, according to a Lawrence Journal World Report. You statistically have a better chance of being stricken twice by lightning than of encountering a genuine act of voter fraud in Kansas, the coalition, which includes state chapters of NAACP and League of Women Voters, stated. But despite Republican alarmism over rigged elections, voter ID laws are a solution in search of a problem, wrote Tova Andrea Wang, who I love, of nonpartisan research and advocacy organization Demos. Wang cited Project Vote's report, The Politics of Voter Fraud, by Lorraine Miniti, who I also love, which found only 24 people were convicted of or pleaded guilty to illegal voting in federal elections between 2002 and 2005, adding that voter ID laws addressed an exceedingly rare type of vote fraud, cost the state money that could be used to address more pressing issues in a time of economic crisis, and served primarily to disenfranchise hundreds of thousands of voters, just so politicians can influence who votes in the next elections. That's what this is about, folks, keeping people from voting. We can't wait till the elections to talk about it. We talk about it now. Brad, in from Malloy.
Well, I've been down so goddamn long that it looks like up to me. Well, I've been down so very damn long that it looks like up to me.
Looking up, America. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy, 23 minutes after the hour. Our phone number here is 877-520-1150. Phones are lighting up. I'm going to try my best to get to everyone, but I got a lot to cover. 877-520-1150. I got a lot to cover. You know, they never let me on the air. So when I'm here, I got to use it up. Hey, get that Paul Weyrich clip ready. I was just finishing up about this imaginary voter fraud going on in Kansas that this idiot Secretary of State, the newly elected Chris Kobach, is trying to trick people into believing exists, despite the fact that you're statistically have a better chance of being hit by lightning twice than coming across voter fraud in Kansas. Voter fraud. Election fraud? Different story. Check the machines. Good luck. But just wanted to point this out, that when you hear this photo ID, these photo ID restrictions they're trying to put in place, among Americans over the age of 65, 18% do not have a photo ID. So 18% of Americans over 65 would be disenfranchised by photo ID laws. Fully a quarter of African Americans and 15% of low-income voters also don't carry ID. For members of these groups who tend to have low voter registration levels anyway, getting an ID becomes just another hurdle to voting. In some cases, the virtually insurmountable one of paying what amounts to a poll tax. That would be mission accomplished for these Republicans who don't care about actual fraud in elections. I do. And by the way, I'm willing to work with any Republican who is concerned about election fraud. I've been writing for the past month or so about Joe Meller up in Alaska, supporting his call for a hand count in Alaska. Probably about as far from me politically as you can find, but I'm happy to support him. He was right to call for a hand count. And maybe we'll have him on this broadcast soon. Yes, Joe Meller on the Mike Malloy Show. Sounds like fun to me. But this is mission accomplished, and it's not new. I've played this clip before, but I want you to hear it again. Paul Weyrich, the founder of the modern-day conservative movement, one of them, was speaking in 1980 to a bunch of preachers in Dallas with Ronald Reagan and Jerry Falwell on the stage, and he accidentally let out the purpose of what you're hearing now 40 years later on this this imaginary voter fraud. Here's what he told those in the crowd.
Now, many of our Christians have what I call the goo-goo syndrome. Good government. They want everybody to vote. I don't want everybody to vote. Elections are not won by a majority of people. They never have been from the beginning of our country, and they are not now. As a matter of fact, our leverage in the elections, quite candidly, goes up as the voting populace goes down.
That's what it's about. Our leverage in the elections, quite candidly, goes up as the voting populace goes down. Paul Weyrich in 1980. He died last year, but just before that, he was lauded by the right-wingers, the top right-wingers. George Will, I think, was a master of ceremonies at this party for him. He would meet every week with right-wing lawmakers. He is, you know, one of the fathers of the modern-day conservative movement, and he told them in 1980, our leverage in elections, quite candidly, goes up as the voting population goes down. That is all that stuff is about when you hear them talking about voter fraud, and when you hear them attacking Acorn, and when you hear them making things up out of whole cloth the way they did in the case of Acorn, where not one vote was ever cast illegally vis-a-vis an Acorn registration. All right, Desi's coming up straight ahead. Brad, in for Mike Malloy.
Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these broken wings and learn to fly. All your life, you were only waiting for this moment to arise.
Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com. In for Mike. Mike will be back on Monday. I am joined here by Desi Doyen, who's my partner on the... What's it called?
The Green News Report.
Thank you very much.
Which you can find us at greennews.bradblog.com and follow us at Twitter at Green News Report.
Very nicely done,
Des. Got it out of the way.
Yes,
okay.
You did. All right. Well, the reason we're playing the Blackbird song is because we had planned tonight to talk to Charles Choi. Charles Quixote Choi is actually his
name.
Yes, he does. He wrote today at National Geographic News about why the birds are falling from the sky, but we had apparently a mix-up. Is that why we didn't get them?
Yes, there was a bit of a miscommunication. He's on the East Coast. We are on the West Coast. He thought we meant that we would have him on at 10 o'clock West Coast time, even though I thought I made that clear, but you know, he was very willing to stay up and talk at 1 o'clock in the morning East Coast time.
That was pretty good.
That was very nice.
But we screwed
up. So
now he's in a movie and he couldn't come.
Right.
So you, however...
talk about what Charles Choi wrote.
Well, you can tell us, because I had some other questions I wanted to bring you on anyway. You, as the managing editor of the Green News Report, you should know the answer. Why are the birds falling from the sky, Desi Doyen? Is it the aflocalypse?
It is not the aflocalypse. You'd be shocked to know that this is actually something that happens fairly occasionally, I should say. Fairly occasionally. It's not totally rare, but, you know, there are mass bird deaths and mass fish kills that happen all the time. It happens to do generally with extreme weather events. Now, there are other issues that could be at work in this, but let's just say the initial scientific evidence points to, in specifically when it comes to Arkansas, what Charles Choi found when he spoke with the Audubon Society, was that these particular red-winged blackbirds are very nearsighted. They tend to hunker down at night, and it is possible that, you know, the fireworks could have done that. Now, he didn't have any information on why doesn't that same thing happen on, say, July 4th with Independence Day. But, see, generally, it's not that dark late at night. At 11 o'clock at night in the wintertime, it's dark.
So is the combination of the dark...
And them being and nearsighted and easily panicked.
I think I got to debunk that. It is dark. They don't do the fireworks until it's dark.
Well, they do the fireworks at dusk. Yeah.
So it would seem like if it's dark and the fireworks are going off, it seems like we would have dead blackbirds all over the country.
That's why
July
it doesn't
4th.
Seem like it's quite a sufficient explanation.
It's not sufficient. And it also doesn't explain why it's happening not just in Arkansas, but it also happened in Louisiana and at around the same time. It also happened in Sweden. So...
Right. Now,
the one
in the Louisiana, it appears that the initial reply is that it appears to have been power lines that killed the blackbirds in Louisiana. You know, it does seem rather strange that they're all trying to find perfectly reasonable explanations for all this stuff happening all at once.
Yeah. And then let's add the fish. Because hundreds of
thousands of fish died in
Arkansas, right down the street from where all the birds died.
Now, the fish kill, they do believe that that has something to do with a disease, because it was only one species. It was only the juveniles of the species. And yeah, it's a lot, but it tends to be a fairly common species. So when a disease hits all at once, it spreads very quickly. Therefore, that's what their explanation is for that. Now, in other countries, the ones that we've been seeing in other countries, those have also been due to cold weather, like the cold snap in Chesapeake Bay, for example, killed several thousand fish over the weekend. And then the thing in Britain, there was also another one. It's a cold snap. Now, the same thing happened in Bolivia this past summer. We covered that. It was winter down there, and they had an extreme cold snap that killed everything in the river for about 20 miles.
Okay, but all right. So it was a complete coincidence that the birds fall out of the sky in Arkansas, and then right down the street in Arkansas, all the fish die.
It does appear to be unrelated.
And a complete coincidence that it happened in Arkansas, and then in Louisiana, and then in Sweden with all the birds, also a coincidence.
These happen fairly occasionally all around the world.
Fairly occasionally.
Now, I will say also that, you know, one of our chat roomers for Earth in the chat room, she and her husband are both biologists, and I might be mistaking exactly what they were, but they are both professors of field biology. And one of the things that they came up with, she sent me an email, is that the bird migration is determined by brain chemicals, sort of like a built-in compass. And they're saying that there is a chance, there's a possibility they could do some more research on whether the chemical balance of their brain chemistry has been messed up by pollutants in the water and in the food that they eat. There are things that need more research,
so
but we don't
looking.
Have anything definitive. Oh, sure.
And so is it possible as well, and this I've heard said, that, well, this happens, as you say, fairly frequently, but we know about it more often because people are all of a sudden talking about it on the internet. We've got more news, so people hear about these things.
Yeah, remember, the internet has only really been happening, say, the last 10 years
or
so.
Well, I know, but the fact that they happen is one thing. The fact that it's happening everywhere seemingly at once is...
It's very curious. It is very curious. All but, you know, that's generally what the scientists are saying right now. In fact, you can go to the Time Magazine Ecocentric blog, and he's got a post where he lists, just in the last 2 years alone, quite a few mass bird deaths that occurred. So, you know, you can check that out as well. There was one in March of 2009, one in January of 2009, one in September of 2009. I mean, so there's... This happens. It doesn't happen that often, but it happens.
All right. Well, if Charles Troy had been here, I would have been harassing him even more than you did.
I know. Well, he already talked to all those people, so he would be better at it.
Well, yeah, because he could. Yeah. All right. Well, listen, a couple more things, a couple more green issues that I want to take care of. One, you heard earlier I was reading about all the misinformation. And one of the big pieces of misinformation that the voters have out there, thanks, mainstream media, concerns, this was from the University of Maryland study, concerns climate change. And that I only have time for just a couple of points here, but I want to show out. A substantial number of voters, 45% of voters, thought that most scientists think climate change is not occurring. 45%.
Which is crazy.
Because
in reality, in case nobody realizes, every single major organization, scientific and research organization in the entire world, without exception, signs on to the idea that humans are the drivers of climate change right now, human activity.
And that's the point. The National Academy of Science has concluded unambiguously that climate change is occurring. Okay, over the last decade, correct public perception about the bulk of scientific opinion has risen and fallen. Without stabilizing, Gallup regularly asks questions on this. And in 2001, 61% said most scientists, this is 2001, okay? 61% said most scientists believe that global warming is occurring. It was slightly higher than that in 06 and 08. And then in 2010, it turned to a bare majority of 52%. This is 52% of Americans think that scientists believe global warming is occurring. What happened between 2008 and 2010?
Gosh, I wonder.
What did happen?
Well, we could talk about, the giant misinformation campaign from the climate change denial industry, funded with millions and millions of dollars from your favorite people in the oil, gas, chemical, timber, and all other industries that have a lot to lose if we change to a less fossil fuel intensive economy.
They're fake. They're big fake scam. They're big fake climate gate scam.
Yes.
In ABC's Washington Post trend question, which asks whether, quote, most scientists agree with one another about whether or not global warming is happening, or is there a lot of disagreement, that poll has regularly found only a minority thinking there is a scientific consensus. 35% in 2006, and now 31% or 36% in 2009. 30-something percent think there is a consensus among scientists.
30-something percent know the truth that there is a consensus among the scientific community around the world.
That's right. So, but my point is that these people, and by the way, this is a survey in April 2010, for example, the Proceedings of the National Academy of Science published a study of expert opinions called Expert Credibility in Climate Change, finding that after surveying the publications of 1,372 climate researchers, 97% of self-identified publishing climate scientists agree with the tenets of anthropogenic climate change, man-made climate change. So huge numbers, and yet only 30-something percent in this country know that.
Because they're not getting the word. And actually, there's another poll that was taken of climate scientists, people who have spent their lives studying this specific specialty, and their consensus is at 97%.
And this has a real-world result, because these are voters who are so unbelievably misinformed. These voters, have now come in, put in these Republicans into the U.S. House. And what has happened? What is one of the first acts of this new Republican House?
They killed the Global Warming Committee in the House.
They killed the entire committee.
Now, granted, it was only established in 2006 when the Democrats had their little temporary regaining of the House majority in the House. But so, the Global Warming Committee, specifically dedicated towards studying and investigating climate science and the findings of climate scientists, that is gone and dead. And now, instead, we have in charge of the House Science Committee, we have Ralph Hall of Texas, who, you know, he's that guy that puts in the poison pill amendments to all the important important bills, the ones that say, oh, look, we're going to make it so that government workers can watch porn and get paid to watch porn on their government computers on government time. He's the guy that installs all of those poison pill amendments.
Yeah.
He's now head of the science committee. He's the one that now wants to bring in and investigate climate science and scientists, sort of like, have you ever been a member of the Environmental Party? I'm sure it'll be something like that. Right. But, yeah, that's what we're getting.
So they're going to, instead of investigating what we can do about climate change and investigating why thousands and thousands of scientists all agree that we have a potential disaster looming at any moment here with climate change, they're going to investigate the scientists themselves.
That is correct. That's what we get to look forward to.
Okay. And I must remind you that the reason they can do this is because they were put in place by voters who have been dreadfully, shamefully, embarrassingly, horrendously misinformed by the mainstream public media.
Yes. And just in case you would like to know, in general, how to respond to any of your friends who are climate change deniers or they consider themselves skeptics, you know, and some people genuinely do not know. It's not because they're evil people or they're bad people.
That's what
they're
misinformed. Yes, they're misinformed.
So the best way to do that is to go to skepticalscience.com. That's a database of all of the scientific papers, all of the evidence, all of the data. The primary scientific papers are right there for you to look at and read for yourself. They also have really good explanations, easy to understand explanations, intermediate explanations if you have some scientific training, but most people are not trained to evaluate this data, so it's really difficult to try to communicate it. So that's why Skeptical Science is such a great place. You can type in any denier argument,
the zombie lies
and
that are out there.
It will take you to a page where you can see what the explanations are and find out what we do know and what we don't know, because there's still a lot that we don't know.
The globe is cooling, not warming.
Which is another one of those crazy zombie lies. That's not true.
The Martian atmosphere is warming as well. So it's just, it can't be man-made.
SkepticalScience.com.
Okay. Thank you, Dad. Oh, wait, hey, you want to take Joy's call? Let's take Joy's
call
before we go. And it's going to have to be quick because we got to get to, unfortunately, never enough
Joy's
time.
Joy's got a very important story that's going
well,
on.
Well, she's going to have to tell it quickly. Hey, Joy, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show.
Well, we have to go to bees then if we've been talking about the birds.
All right, birds and the bees. Give it to us.
Well, the story that came out of the New York Times, which they said that they could trace this colony collapse disorder to basically a fungus and a virus that were doing a tag team on the bees, is a bogus story because it did not include the effect of pesticides on the bees. And the funders of that story was Bayer.
Big makers of pesticides.
Who makes a huge amount of pesticides used all over the planet that are called neonicotinoids, which are also described as acetylcholine receptor agonist / antagonist.
We are getting scientific for this late at night on a Friday night, Ms. Joy.
Basically, it causes neurological issues in insects.
Uh-huh.
And one of the problems with this particular type of pesticides is it's not sprayed on the crops. It's actually put on the seeds. So when
it's incorporated into the plant when it grows.
Right. It grows all the way up, so it gets into the pollen itself.
And, you know, the other thing that's also came out this week was that there's another study that shows that bumblebees, now Joy's talking about honeybees, and, you know, they pollinate most of the crops, but there's another study that bumblebees, four species of bumblebees in the United States have declined 96%.
Probably related to the same thing.
It probably is.
Other than that, nothing to worry about. Glad we don't have that committee anymore in the U.S. House who could look at this. Hey, thanks, Joy. I got to run.
All right.
Thanks. Man. Unbelievable. Hey, Des, thank you very much.
Thank you.
I think there's some people trying to call in. We'll try to get to you.
We'll get to them right now. Hold on, y'all.
877-520-1150. One more segment.
And I don't owe no one. No obligations. No one owe me none, so everything is fine.
Say it's only a paper moon, sailing over a cardboard sea. But it wouldn't be make-believe if you believed in me. Yes, it's only a canvas sky.
My thanks tonight to engineer Tony Sorrentino. Thank you, brother. Great job as ever. And thanks for jumping in at the last moment this week. Really appreciate it. Also to LA's K-Talk AM 1150. Of course, to producer Desi Doyen. And I should have we ran short on time there, so I should have noted once again, she is the Desi Doyen from the Green News Report, which if you don't have on your progressive radio station, call your station and ask them for it. It's fun. It's funny. It's 6 minutes of Desi and me, but it's still good anyway, even with me. You can listen to it at greennews.bradblog.com. She was also on triple duty tonight, manning the phone lines and the chat room. So thank you, Des. And, of course, my thanks to, as always, to Mike and Kathy Malloy for allowing me to sit in, hoping Mike is healing up smartly and hopefully will be back in fine fettle with you on Monday. If you're listening via MikeMalloy.com, please stay tuned for Head On with Bob Kincaid coming up next. Going to try to get to these rest of these callers if I can in a moment, but I want to make a quick note here. A couple of weeks ago when I was on the show, we had Colleen Rowley, who had was the FBI whistleblower, 9/11 whistleblower, and Time Magazine's Person of the Year. She had just been arrested, as you may recall, if you were listening. She had just been arrested in D.C., along with Dan Ellsberg, the Pentagon Papers whistleblower, senior CIA analyst Ray McGovern, Chris Hedges, the Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist, Dr. Margaret Flowers, up at the White House where they were protesting the war in Afghanistan and Iraq and supporting WikiLeaks. They were arrested for failure to obey a lawful order. Well, what do you know? All 131 people who were arrested in that snowstorm have now been cleared. And let's see, anti-war, they were anti-war military veterans and other activists. They celebrated a breakthrough this week as the D.C. Superior Court dropped all charges. Of course they did. They just couldn't have them, hanging out and getting press attention or something. Not that the press bothered. Okay, who do I have here? Steve, I know I got on no time at all, so we're going to fly through. I'm sorry to say, I'll have to give you guys about 20 seconds each. Hey, Steve in Wisconsin, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, sir.
Brad, good evening.
Good evening.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Just a quick comment, though. All the people out there, if you ever come across anybody that is a climate change skeptic,
yeah.
I have a little question I like to ask people. Ask somebody, what's the difference between climate and weather?
Yeah, they don't know the difference, and they think because it's snowing outside that there can be no global warming. I got to run, Steve. Thanks, and I'll explain the difference. Of course,
you
bet. Climate, very quickly, weather is a single occurrence that goes on in your backyard. Climate is what goes on in the much broader picture, goes on around the world. And yes, over the past 2010, we broke something like shattered heat records all around the world. It was the hottest decade on record. And that is true no matter if it's snowing in New York City at the Fox News studios or not. Skepticalscience.com is great for all of this. Hey, guys, thanks for having me in tonight and so, for being so kind over in the bradblog.com chat room. We'll have the archives up later tonight at bradblog.com. They'll also be at mikemalloy.com. If you're not a subscriber, head on over there and support some independent, progressive media. Until I see you next time, you can find me at bradblog.com. I'm Brad, in for Mike. Keep it lit, America.